You're listening to the Home Service on Ten Radio.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome to this week's Home Service. And it's actually a bit of a landmark service, really, because, it's not quite 3 years to the day, but it is 3 years since the Home Service began. And the very first service that we actually broadcast on 10 Radio as part of the Home Service series was a service for Mothering Sunday. And, of course, this Sunday coming is Mothering Sunday. So how about that, then? We've been going for 3 years and barely a break. I think the only breaks that we've had have been due to, shall we say, little technical problems rather than actually because we haven't had anything planned to share with you. But it really is a delight. And thank you to those of you who have actually been with us across those 3 years. And of course, a huge thank you to all those who've contributed. And there have been many and varied folk from across the 10 parishes area and sometimes slightly beyond as well, who have actually contributed to our acts of worship, but also to our interviews and telling us about the events which have been going on in their churches. So it really has been a privilege and a delight to be able to tap into the life of our churches in the area. And this week is no exception, and I'm delighted to say that I have with me live in the studio today Angela and Martin Valoos. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
How very lovely to have you here. And of course, Martin and Angela both worship at St Andrew's here in Wiveliscombe. Martin has the grand title of being a lay reader, but none of us know what it means, do we, Martin?
No.
Or maybe a little later on you can enlighten people. Of course, people will know Martin and Angela for the many things that they do in the life of the church and indeed in the life of the town here in Wiveliscombe. And Martin and Angela are going to be leading our act of worship today on that theme of Mothering Sunday, so we're looking forward to that in just a short while. But also, well, a special day for those with any Irish background is, of course, it's St Patrick's Day. We might even try and allude to some little celebration for that. Martin's pointing out that Angela has a secret bit of an Irish heritage.
Yes, my grandfather was Irish.
Fantastic. Yes. Well, there we are then. That's perfect. Well, of course, I knew that, which is why I thought that it was absolutely appropriate to be doing that.
Well, a long time ago, I had very dark hair and blue eyes, which is sort of quite a... But alas, the dark hair is gone.
It happens to the best of us, as they say. But remember where you've heard that first, folks. Anyway, we'll perhaps hear a little bit about St Patrick and a little bit later on if time allows us to do it. Just a reminder that if you want to look at the words for the songs that Martin and Andrew have chosen today, then you can do that on our website at tenradio.org and scroll down beyond the programme posters to the little section which says Home Service and the little bit of orange text which says download the words. But for those of you who like to look at things in the comfort of their own homes, well, let me tell you what's up and coming. We'll be starting with The Servant King from Heaven You Came, Helpless Babe. We'll also be sharing Bind Us Together, Lord. And then a lovely song which Jonathan Vieira, who's appeared at St Andrew's Church in Wiveliscombe several times, is going to sing for us. I think it's a Graham Kendrick song, I remember rightly. It's Thorns in the Straw, often associated with Christmas, but I'm sure Martin and Angela will tell you the relevance of it for us today. And also you'll find words to the song which is based on St Patrick's breastplate, and we'll be playing a Gene Watson version of that a little later on, as I say, if time allows. But for the moment, let's gather ourselves as we prepare for our act of worship this morning.
So good morning to all of you, all you listeners. And as Andrew's already said, we're going to be focusing on Mothering Sunday today. And with no further ado, I think I'll get straight into the first prayer, which leads us into the worship for the morning. Loving God, we thank you for mothers, for all they mean or have meant, for the love they have shown and the care they have given. We thank you for the qualities of mothers, their patience, their kindness, concern, and understanding. We thank you for the part they play in our lives, and we thank you for this day of saying, thank you. This opportunity to say, what we so often mean to say, but so rarely do. For mothers and motherhood, for children and families, we bring you this day of grateful praise. And so we come to our first hymn, which, as Andrew has said, is The Servant King by Graham Kendrick. And From Heaven You Came reminds us of, this servant king reminds us of Moses helpless in the bulrushes, which we shall consider later, and Jesus in danger from Herod's soldiers too. And Jesus comes among us in all the danger and uncertainty that life on earth brings. So here's Servant King.
This is our God, the servant king.
So Jesus entered the world as a tiny baby and became our servant king. Our reading this morning is from the book of Exodus, and I should do the official reading, and then Angela is going to do the introduction, which sort of leads us to the official reading. So here we go, Exodus chapter 2. Now a man from the house of Levi went and married a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a fine baby, she hid him for 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and plastered it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds on the bank of the river. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. The daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river while her attendants walked beside the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maid to bring it. And when she opened it, she saw the child. He was crying, and she took pity on him. "This must be one of the Hebrews' children," she said. Then his sisters said to Pharaoh, "Shall I go and get you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?" Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Yes." So the girl went and called the child's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child and nurse it for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed it. And when the child grew up, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and she took him as her son. She named him Moses, because she said, "I drew him out of the water." Now Angela is going to give you the preamble to that, why it's important, that this story of Moses.
So I'm reading Exodus chapter 1, according to the midwife Shipra. A long time ago, I lived in Egypt. The people of Israel were living in Egypt because when Joseph told Pharaoh what his dreams meant, Pharaoh made Joseph the second in command over the whole country. Joseph told his whole family to move to Egypt with him, and that's what they did. Jacob and all of Joseph's brothers and their whole family moved to Egypt to be with Joseph. But then Joseph died, and a new Pharaoh became king. He didn't know about how Joseph had been second in command, and he didn't care about us Israelites. In fact, he started to be afraid of us because there were so many of us Israelites in Egypt. He thought that if he let us keep having more babies and getting bigger, then we might try to join up with his enemies and leave the country. So, because the new Pharaoh was afraid of us Israelites, he turned us into slaves and made us build his buildings for him and do all the farming work. Pharaoh and the Egyptians were very mean to us by making us be their slaves. But God was still with us. He kept letting us have babies so that there kept being more and more Israelites. Of course, that made that mean old Pharaoh even more afraid of us. So one day he called my partner, Pua, and me into his palace. Pua and I were both nurses who helped to take care of the other Israelite women when they were having their babies. Pharaoh told us, "Shipra and Pua, I don't want the Israelites to have any more baby boys. Those boys could grow up to be warriors that might fight against me. So when you go and help take care of the Israelite women as they're having their babies, I want you to look and see if their baby is a boy or a girl. If it's a girl, you can let her live. But if it's a boy, I want you to kill him." Pua and I were so afraid. We knew Pharaoh would be mad at us if we didn't kill the baby boys, but we couldn't do that. We knew that God said killing was wrong, so we didn't do it, even though we were afraid of what Pharaoh might do to us for not listening to him. When Pharaoh called us back into the palace and asked us why we hadn't been killing the Israelite baby boys, we lied and told him that the Israelite women kept having their babies before we could get there and kill them. God was so proud of us for listening to him and not killing the baby boys that he let us have babies of our own.
So our second hymn this morning is Bind Us Together. And this speaks of the love of mothers and those who care for children everywhere. It also speaks of God's immense love for us. And I'm reminded of Jesus declaring when he saw Jerusalem, "How many times I wanted to put my arms around all your people, just as a mother hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you would not let me." So here we are, Bind Us Together. Theme this morning for my talk is beautiful and splendid light. And Father, grant that these spoken words may be faithful to the written word and lead us to the living word, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So who remembers the 22nd of March 2020? Mothering Sunday and the first Sunday in lockdown. Churches were closed. The tradition at St Andrew's for quite a few years has been for a party of people to gather at our house on Saturday and make posies for mums, which can be handed out at the service the following day. There was no physical service, so Angela and I made posies and drove to the church, where we handed them to the few people who arrived to place flowers on graves. It was very special to be able to give a posy to a lady who has fostered many children over the years and still does. And the other memorable event that day, as Andrew's already said, was the very first online home service from Ten Radio, hosted by the Swan family. It was the beginning of realising that church could reach people in their homes for weekly worship, and we are very pleased that this programme has continued for 3 years. The weather that March, you may remember, was absolutely gorgeous, cool but sunny. And because we could not meet with our daughters that Mothering Sunday, we went for the first of what turned out to be many walks. Happily, over these weekly walks, we explored a number of new paths and got to know the local area much better, after nearly 60 years. On this first Mothering Sunday, however, we kept to familiar trails up Sandy Lane to the old slate quarry, returning via Ford. And coming up the often wet lane towards the quarry, the farmer had been hedging. And inevitably, lots of brash was left over ready for burning. Most of it was hazel, and I collected a very nice forked stick, which I took home and created a lovely walking stick with. Now I carry it on most of our longer walks, and I intend to carry it the whole length of the coast path, as we've talked about on 10 Radio before. Currently, we have reached the Lizard. Now, I was forced to take 2 weeks furlough and thoroughly enjoyed my time at home. It was a bit disappointing to be called back to work in early April, but we had a very busy year and the furlough time had convinced me that retirement would be okay. Therefore, I retired the following May and was pleased to be able to train up my replacement, leaving the business in very good hands and at a peak. This is all very personal and interesting, you may say, but where's the message we tuned in to hear about mothers in particular? Well, the reading assigned for the day is about the rescuing of Moses, the one drawn up out of the water. And it's a wonderful story of hope in the face of adversity. A bit like 3 years ago. The Pharaoh of the time is a tyrant and is against the Hebrew race in general with the same message that we too often hear today. There are too many of them, so let's oppress and kill them. The world becomes a darker and more dangerous place when we start thinking in terms of us and them. But into this dangerous land, at just the right time, appear two remarkable women who, very unusually for women in the Bible, are named. So we know that they have a very important role to carry out. These women have very special names, Pua, meaning splendid light, and Shipra, meaning pleasing to the eye, as when a woman removes her veil and is perceived as beautiful. Now, obviously, there were many more than two midwives who saved some 600,000 Israelite babies in the time of this particular pharaoh. But these two names refer to the effect that the midwives in general had of being pleasing to God and shining light into the world. We are reminded of the opening of Genesis, where God sees everything that has been made and pronounces it to be good. God always desires us to live and be fruitful. And midwives these days, as in ancient days, are bringers of life in all its fullness, and hence are particularly blessed by God for their calling and profession. Now, it's very telling that right here at the beginning of the book of Exodus, which everyone knows is about Moses leading the Israelite people out of Egypt towards the promised land, we have these two named midwives. The Egyptians have forgotten how Joseph had been a saviour of their land, and now see the growing Israelite population as a threat. A new pharaoh has arisen, and the mood of the nation is to drive out the unwanted others. And the Bible refers to these people simply as them. As I say, when nations start to see people as us and them, danger awaits. In the 15th verse of chapter 1 of Exodus, we have these two named women, a rare event in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament. And when women are named, we understand the course of history is about to change dramatically, usually for the better. Therefore, Shipra comes out from under her veil and is revealed as beautiful, and Pua steps into the story in glorious light. No kingdom on earth is greater than God's kingdom. Pharaohs come and go, nations and empires rise and fall, but God's kingdom will prevail. As Paul reminds us in his letter to the Roman Church, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. It will seem at many occasions that the world is against us, and when we encounter such hardships, then it takes courage to stand up and be counted. Shipra and Pua, although scared, stood up and were counted. They are reminders to take the straight path rather than the wide road, to overcome the us and them terminology and care for the individual as a whole human being. Now, some years ago at Spring Harvest, Angela and I were moved to adopt a child named Dorcas in Togo at the prompting of Compassion International. And we know quite a few people that have taken a similar route. We may never meet our adopted daughter, but our actions can save a life and a community and lead to who knows what future person stepping onto the world stage. When we adopted Dorcas, we were gifted a book called Just a Minute. And in it, Wes Stafford, the president of Compassion, tells many stories of lives being changed by a minute spent differently. One such is the story of John Wesley, who was plucked from his family's burning rectory by the bravery of a man standing close to the wall, whilst another climbed on his shoulders and plucked young Jackie from the burning, thatched building just before the roof caved in. This led his father, the Reverend Samuel Wesley, his house in ashes, his books and writings gone, to cry out in joy, "Come, neighbours, let us kneel down, let us give thanks to God. He has given me all 8 children. Let the house go, I am rich enough." Where is the straight path today? Maybe we can save a Moses. Now, we're not all called to pluck people from burning buildings or sponsor a child we may never meet, or indeed be midwife to someone seen as undesirable by the state. But each of us, every day, can have a kind word for someone or do an action that subtly changes a life. We can gently drop our faith into a situation in prayer or in witness, and who knows what may come of it. Evangelism is using whatever comes to hand to further God's kingdom. Shipra and Pua, for example, play on the prejudice of Pharaoh when they say that the Hebrew women, them, are not like Egyptian women, you. They are more vigorous. There's power in a name, even if it is them and us. Pua and Shipra are named as beautiful and light. We too are named by God and furthermore are adopted into the family of God through Jesus. Mothers everywhere, whether biological or adopted, have the power to change lives. So let's give thanks for our own mothers who changed the course of their own lives to give birth and raise each of us. The lockdowns we experienced gave us new directions and changed our lives, sometimes painfully, with great fear and heartache, sometimes joyously. We could see more clearly our future, me with retirement. The people of northern India, for instance, could see the Himalaya range for the first time in many years as the smog dispersed. Becoming a mother or a father leads to a life of change and brings joy and pain. Mary, the mother of Jesus, experiences this pain and joy writ large throughout the New Testament. But we know that she ultimately encountered her son, risen and glorified. That humble birth in Bethlehem somewhat mirrors the humble birth of Moses as he was placed in a basket for safety among the rushes. Moses went on to lead his people to the borders of the Promised Land. Jesus, risen, opens the gate for us to enter the Promised Land of his eternal kingdom. Amen. Now Angela is going to introduce our third song.
Thorns in the Straw. This is a fine Christmas song from Wivy's favourite Jonathan Vera. It speaks of the immense love Mary feels for her new baby Jesus, but also warns of the pains of motherhood and all others, and that all others feel when their children are in danger, and the terrible sadness when a child dies before a parent. It's beautifully written and wonderfully sung, and perhaps we can picture Mary standing near the cross as Jesus dies, which is another suggested reading for Mothering Sunday.
See? Since the day the angel came, it seemed that everything had changed. The only certain thing was the child that moved within. On the road that would not end, winding down to Bethlehem. So far away from home. Just a blanket on the floor of a vacant cattle store. But there the child was born. She held him in her arms, and as she laid him down to sleep, she wondered, will it always be? So bitter yet so sweet. And did she see her in the straw by his head a thorn? And did she smell myrrh in the air on that starry night? Then the words of ancient seas tumbled down the centuries. A virgin shall conceive, God with his Prince of Peace. Land of sorrow, strangest name, O Joseph, there it comes again. So bitter yet so sweet. And did she see that in the straw by his head a thorn? And did she smell myrrh in the air on that starry joy was mingled with her tears, and she'd feel it all again, the glory and the shame. And when the miracles began, she wondered, who is this man? And where will this all end? Till against the darkening sky, the sun she loved was lifted high, and with his dying breath, she heard him say, Father, forgive, and to the criminal beside, today with me in paradise. So bitter yet so
listeners may be familiar with the most famous song of Mary, the Magnificat, and our prayers today pick up themes from her song. where she was expressing her delight in her unexpected pregnancy. And we've taken these directly from John Pritchard's wonderful book. Gracious Father, on this Mothering Sunday, we give thanks for the unique privilege of having children to bring up. We feel so unprepared. We feel such a responsibility. We often feel so overwhelmed. Help us to rest in the knowledge that we could be asked to do no more important thing than to love, guide, and nurture a new life. In doing this, we're sharing your divine activity of loving, guiding, and nurturing the whole human race. And so we pray with Mary. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour.
We pray for mothers everywhere. Young mothers overawed by the task and by the depth of their feelings. Older mothers thrilled beyond measure that at last a child has come. Mothers in Britain who are single, scared, and poor. Mothers in many developing countries whose diet is thin and whose milk is scarce. Hasten the day when mothers everywhere can say with Mary, "The Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name."
We pray for fathers everywhere. Young fathers, unsure how to be a father and a husband, a lover and a friend. Fathers in poorer countries wondering how to feed yet another child. Fathers in the Western world leaving home too early and coming home too late to share these special years. Hasten the day when fathers everywhere can say, "His mercy is for those who fear him, from generation to generation."
We pray for couples everywhere who are without children, those who've made the choice and are happy, those who have not made that choice and are desperate for a child, those who are seeking help and waiting anxiously month by month, those who are trying to adopt and going through a long process. Hasten the day when all who want children can say, "He has shown strength with his arm and lifted up the lowly."
We pray for the family lives of the nation, upon which so much depends. We know that good experience of family life leads to good family life in the next generation. Be among us to bless, guide, and keep safe these special units of love, patience, and forgiveness. And continue to teach us the way of Jesus, who knew the security of a loving home with Mary and Joseph in Nazareth. So may we all come to say with Mary, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour." And the collect for Mothering Sunday in the good Anglican tradition. God of compassion, whose Son Jesus Christ, the child of Mary, shared the life of a home in Nazareth, and on the cross drew the whole human family to himself. Strengthen us in our daily living that in joy and in sorrow we may know the power of your presence to bind together and to heal. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Our final song this morning is "Coat of Many Colours" by Dolly Parton. And each time that we have been privileged to lead the Home Service, we've chosen a song to finish that is not a standard hymn or worship song and yet speaks some truth. This classic from Dolly Parton, who is a woman of great faith, as evidenced by the time we saw her on the pyramid stage at Glastonbury, and she had 130,000 people lifting their hands in praise as they sung "Lay Your Hands on Me" in lyrics directed towards Jesus. This classic song speaks of the make-do and mend love that mothers often exhibit, and of which we should all be so proud. May we all, whether mothers, fathers, or simply humans in this big and dangerous world, make life more colourful for those we meet. Coat of many colours.
Back through the years I go wandering once again, back to the seasons of my youth. I recall a box of rags that someone gave us, and how my mama put the rags to use. There were rags of many colors, but every piece was small, and I didn't have a coat, and it was away down in the fall. Mama sewed the rags together, so in every piece with love she made my coat of many colors that I was so proud of. As she sewed, she told a story from the Bible she had read about a coat of many colors Joseph wore, and then she said, perhaps this coat will bring you good luck and happiness. And I just couldn't wait to wear it, and Mama blessed it with a kiss. My coat of many colors that my mama made for me, I was rich as I could be in my coat of many colors my mama made for me. So with patches on my breeches and holes in both my shoes, in my coat of many colors I hurried off to school, just to find the others laughing and making fun of me. And my coat of many colors my mama made for me. And oh, I couldn't understand it, for I felt I was rich. And I told them all the love my mama sewed in every stitch. And I told them all the story mama told me while she sewed, and how my coat of many colors was worth more than all their clothes. But they didn't understand it, and I tried to make them see that one is only poor, only if they choose to be. Now I know we had no money, but I was rich as I could be in my coat of many colors my mama made for me. Made just for me.
You're listening to the Home Service on 10 Radio.
A huge thanks to Angela and to Martin for leading our act of worship this morning live here in the studio, which is always an extra joy as well. And of course, if you have missed that or part of it and you want to listen again, you can listen to the whole of the Home Service again, of course, on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock on Mothering Sunday itself, of course. And that's, of course, on 105.3 FM and streaming on the internet. It will, of course, be up on the Listen Again facility, by which you can access by going to 10radio.org and scrolling down to the Home Service poster, and you can click on that and listen to that at any time if you would like to do so. And well, in actual fact, Andrew at least will be back next week, because next week's Home Service we are going to be sharing with the residents of Pulsford Lodge, and Andrew is part of the Anna Chaplaincy team alongside Juliet Gosling Brown and one or two others who actually go in and conduct a regular service with the residents, and we're going to have another word with Andrew and Martin. Andrew and Martin, I mean, I say that St Andrew's Church is leads a busy life. I mean, you've been part of it for quite a long time now, have you not?
A very long time.
I'm a bit longer than you.
Yes.
In it, yes, yeah. So 61 years virtually.
By jolly gosh. surely you can't be that old.
Although we were away for about 10 years, so yes. 51
yeah.
years maybe.
Yes, yeah. yeah. So just tell us a little bit about your faith journey. What led up to you being, as it were, fully involved and an active part of the life at St Andrews?
Angela's got a more interesting faith journey than me, so you speak.
Well, I didn't really come from a family that went to church. I mean, I think my mum had a faith and she was, she supported me. But the story I was telling Juliet recently was that I was at school and quite a rogue, really. I went to this school and, you know, if I could make a lesson go slower and interrupt it, that's what I did. And when it came to choosing my options, I thought, oh, I'll choose RE. That'll be an easy ride, you know.
Yes.
And that's what I did. And there were just maybe four or five girls in the class. And the RE teacher here was the lovely Reverend Herbert White from Wellington.
Remember him well, yes.
The Methodist Church. Well, it was life-changing because what I thought was going to be an easy ride, just, you know, not doing very much, turned into something that stayed with me when I went home. I thought about the stories. And basically, we just studied Mark's Gospel for that was the syllabus, and you know, and it had such an effect on me, and you know, the rest is history, as they say. So I went home to my mum and I said, you know, I'm getting taken in by this. I would like to go to church. And it was dear Chris Marshall, and she came for a couple of Sundays with me till I was in, and then I joined the youth club.
The point of no return,
and that's where I met Martin.
Actually, youth club was happening twice a week in those days in the old church rooms, on a Thursday evening and on a Sunday evening, I believe they were. And we had a great full-size snooker table up there. I used to go and play on quite a lot with Michael Edmed. But we also had sort of music and stuff like that. And one day I walked up the stairs in the youth club, and I've told loads of people this, and came up the stairs and I saw Angela at the top of the stairs. I'd never seen her before, and I thought, that's the lady for me. That's the girl for me.
Wow.
Trouble is, she was going out with my best friend at the time.
A minor detail.
Yeah.
Tim Hutchins, who lived in the newsagents halfway up the uptown hill. But anyway, eventually she saw the light and it came my way. and we sort of joined some of the youth activities across the whole diocese. Because it was quite an active youth group, quite a few people involved. We met with other people across all sorts of places, and we had a very active diocesan youth chaplain called John Pritchard. John Pritchard, who I already name checked earlier on, and he took us to all sorts of places. I remember climbing up Snowdon, for instance, and I got my very first picture of Angela climbing up Snowdon. I just snapped her with this group with Snowdon behind.
Climbing and walking and outdoor enthusiasm has been there from the beginning in your relationship.
Was,
then.
Yeah.
I think that was my first experience of walking.
Oh, right.
Then, yeah.
Yeah, it was actually. Yeah.
I'm not sure how impressed I was at that stage.
But it's obviously stuck with you with all your with all your travels, yeah. Right?
And you mentioned your first time to London was going to see Jesus Christ Superstar.
It was, yeah. With John Richard. A youth weekend.
Yeah. Well, isn't that interesting? Because I would say I would kind of relate to what you said, both in terms of the youth club experience. Mm-hmm. I mean, I got involved in church because my best friend was a vicar's son. He actually then went off, and it was left me, and I actually went through the youth club. And of course, one of the things that we went to see was the film of Jesus Christ Superstar, and that had a profound effect. That alongside Godspell, and I don't think we should underestimate, you know, just how important it is to provide opportunities for people to come together. You just don't know what seeds it sets, do you?
Right.
And that's why we should never become complacent about that. Yeah. And I know in this kind of multimedia world, it becomes more and more difficult to kind of know how you can kind of reach out. But actually, that bringing people together and just actually being able to enjoy fellowship and then learning there's something more about life than just that we have put you in con. Well, listen, as testimony to, as it were, our mutual heritage in Jesus Christ Superstar, we're going to play a track from that to bring us towards a close. And one of the ones that there are lots of good tracks. It's difficult to know which to go for, but we've gone for What's the Buzz? Tell Me Something. Tell me what's happening. Yep. And as I've confessed to Angela and Martin, I listen to Jesus Christ Superstar every Good Friday.
So yeah, that'll absolutely be coming up again. Good idea.
Here we go.
Tell me what's happening, what's the buzz? 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 Tell me what's happening.
Why should you want to know? Don't you mind about the future? Don't you try to think ahead. Save tomorrow for tomorrow. Think about today instead.
What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. What's the buzz?
I could give you facts and figures.
Tell me what's happening. What's the buzz? Tell me
even give you plans and forget. Even tell you where I'm going.
When do we ride to Jerusalem? When do we ride to Jerusalem? When do we ride to Jerusalem? When do we ride to Jerusalem?
Why should you want to know? Why are you obsessed with fighting? Times and fates you can't defy. If you knew the path we're riding, you'd understand it less than
us. Tell me what's happening, what's the buzz? Tell me what's happening, what's the buzz? Tell me what's happening, what's the buzz? Tell me what's happening.
Let me try to cool down your face a bit. Let me try to cool down your face a bit. Let me try to cool down your face a bit. Let me try to cool down your face. So let me try to cool down your face. Let me try to cool down your face a bit.
That is good while you prattle through your supper. Where and when and who and how. She alone has tried to give me what I need right here now.
What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. 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 What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening.
There we are. That's part of the soundtrack from the film Jesus Christ Superstar, which as I was just sharing with Angela and Martin, what an influence it had on the beginning of our spiritual journeys. And so it's just lovely to recall that. And I certainly will be watching and listening to it this Good Friday. My family will be disappointed if I didn't. Well, our time is coming to an end. And again, to say thank you to Martin and Angela for leading our act of worship this morning. Of course, we will be back next Wednesday after the repeat on Sunday with that service from Paulsford Lodge. And I hope you'll be able to join us then. And again, to say thank you for being with us. Those of you who have stuck with us over the past 3 years, it's been our delight and pleasure. I'm going to just play a little bit of the Gene Watson version of St. Patrick's Breastplate as we go out this morning. And for those of you who are listening, perhaps on the Friday, well, happy St. Patrick's Day. Bye for now, and God bless.
Christ in quiet and in danger. Christ in hearts of those who love me, Christ in mouth of friend and stranger. Behind me and before, Christ to fight for me and win me, Christ to comfort and restore.